This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning Show on the Horse Radio Network. This is episode 1996. Well, the third Thursday of the month, we don't really have a show booked right now. So if your group or organization is looking to get the word out about what they do or to just provide some entertainment, we do have this Thursday open. Just contact me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com and I'll send you all the details how you can take over the third Thursday episode of Horses in the Morning. In the meantime, I'm putting this episode out, two, because I know a lot of you are gamers, and three, because I needed to put an episode out today so that our 2000th episode landed next Wednesday. That's right, 2000 episodes as of next Wednesday, and we're doing a special listener appreciation show. We want you to contribute. Send a voicemail or give us a call that morning. And if you can't call us live next Wednesday morning, that is the 22nd of August, then send us a voicemail. The voicemail line is 859-474-0261, or just record something on your phone and email it over to glenn@horseradionetwork.com. Tell us how long you've been listening and tell us either what the show has meant to you or yours, how important it is to you, or what has been your favorite episode or guest. And we'll play those on the special Listener Appreciation Day on next Wednesday. We want to hear from everybody. We know of thousands of listeners. Let's get a whole bunch of voicemails. If we have to do a longer show, that would be absolutely wonderful, but we want to hear from all of you. In the meantime, I needed to put this episode out, so we hit 2000 next Wednesday. So I thought I'd bring you a little bit of fun that Jemmy and I had on the Finding Florida show. We did a special Geek versus Gamer episode where we went out and played all kinds of games competing against each other. And we did a special introduction to that. It's called Episode 10A, Geek versus Gamer in the Southeast Preview, where we talk about gaming, the history of some games. We have a special guest, Danny Pena, Hall of Fame podcaster who is the gaming guru. So if you play games, whether video games or board games or any other kind of games, I think you're going to enjoy this episode. And stay through to the end for Florida or not. It was very funny, and I think you'll enjoy that as well. And if you enjoy this episode of Finding Florida, you're going to really enjoy the challenge ones, the ones where we actually play the games in episode 10B and 10C. You'll find those at findingfloridapodcast.com. It was a fun time, but who won? Did Jemmy? Or did I? You'll find out. So we'll be back tomorrow morning live here with Jamie, and we'll be doing some really bad ads. So get your ads into jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And in the meantime, here's the Finding Florida look at gaming. I think you'll enjoy.
The Florida Podcast Network, the voice of Florida.
This is episode 10A of the Finding Florida podcast on the Florida Podcast Network, Geek versus Gamer in the Southeast.
Welcome to Finding Florida, the podcast that takes you from country to the coast. Join your tour guides, an unlikely pair, City Girl Jemmy and Country Boy Glenn, as they explore the amazing sights and sounds of the Sunshine State.
Thank you for joining us in this lead up to our 10th adventure of the Finding Florida podcast. We challenged each other to a little head-to-head competition through the southeast counties of Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade.
It's summer, the season of the greatest competitions, from the Olympics and the World Cup to Survivor and Big Brother. So what better way to join in on the fun than with a head-to-head competition of our very own? That's right. Glenn and I are going geek versus gamer in the southeast.
I would be the geek. She would be the gamer. So all of the audio from that fun adventure of gaming our way through the three counties will be in our next two episodes, 10B and 10C.
As a reminder, we are spreading our adventures out over multiple episodes now to give you more content more often, including each of our highlights.
I think that's worked very well, too. I think that people enjoyed the...
Yeah, we got great response.
And you'll get to hear who won the competition over the next couple of episodes. We're not giving that away.
Oh my gosh.
And here are a few clips from 10B and 10C.
This is not laser tag.
I get to point a gun at you and pull the trigger.
You've been waiting all your life to do this.
I really kind of accidentally pushed her out of my way.
You were paying both the cards. Did you get the red flag?
Well, it wasn't until we got up afterwards that I realized she's like 12 years old. So I really felt really bad.
Players are forbidden from bringing in explosive, flammable, or sharp items, including, but not limited to, lighters, knives, and toxic chemicals.
Oh, darn, there's the fun.
Let's get started.
My first problem was I couldn't even get my flashlight on. All right.
Stop helping Glenn.
Thank you for all the help.
I'm trying to make it competitive.
I appreciate that.
She's crushing you, bro.
Oh, is she?
But on this episode, 10A, we're talking all about games and gaming, and then we'll get into a whole bunch of other fun Florida stuff, including our community clipboard, Florida foods and feel goods, Florida or not, and a hero of the month. And this month, Glenn has a mystery sound for me.
It was something I did this month, too. I recorded it on location.
I don't want to grow up on a toy's rocket. They got a million toys and toys are us that I can play with. I don't want to grow up. I'm a toy's rocket. They got the best for so much less. You really flip your lid.
From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz!
I don't want to grow up, because baby, if I did, I couldn't be a toy's rocket. More games, more toys. Oh, boy!
One of my favorite parts of the A episodes is doing a little bit about the history. Well, I couldn't do a history of a town.
You're old, Glenn, so you remember most of it.
I know. I love history. I'm part of history. I love doing the history part, and we couldn't do a history of a town because we didn't do the town. So I kind of did the history of some of the games we got to play.
Perfect.
So some of the games you're going to hear that we challenged each other to that I might have won. First was skee ball. I kind of wonder where skee ball came from. It was invented in 1908 by the guy by the name of Joseph Simpson. He was in Vineland, New Jersey. He licensed the game to two other guys by the name of John Harper and William Nice, who created the Skee Ball Alley Company and began marketing. The games were 32 feet long
which
in 1909.
Amazing to me.
Just like, my gosh. The games we have now and make them like twice as long.
I mean, imagine throwing the ball on that ramp so many. Because we played ski. Last time I played Skee Ball with Jordan, first of all, that kid never stopped. Second of all, my arm felt like it was going to fall off. And that was what, like 10 foot? Imagine 32 feet.
We played a lot of skee ball when we were out too in this adventure, but they didn't sell well for years. I wonder why. Because people were too tired.
32 feet. Where did you put it?
So by 1912, only a couple of years later, one partner had died and the company folded. They weren't doing well. Well, what happened was a guy started playing and absolutely loved playing skee ball. He found one in Philadelphia. He loved playing it. He revived the company, kind of went in with these guys and revived the company. And they revived the National Skee Ball Company and started making these games and selling more of them. They put one in Atlantic City in the boardwalk. Mm. And that was it. It started taking off from there. So around 1920, they had the first skee ball tournament in Atlantic City. Over 100 contestants played. They made the game much shorter then. Nobody liked throwing the ball half a mile. So in the end, they gave away $2,400 in prizes for that first. What was interesting, and we learned a little bit about this on our trip, is that 1936, the Wolitzer Manufacturing Company, do you know Wolitzer?
Yeah, they make the jukeboxes.
They make the jukeboxes. They made organs and pianos and things like that. Well, they bought the company, kind of odd, huh? But they wanted a gaming division. So they bought the company in 36, and they made a ton of games. But then World War II came, and they started making stuff for the military, kind of fell out of it. And then after the war, the Philadelphia Toboggan Company bought Wolitzer out and started making the games, and they've been making skee ball games ever since.
Seems to make a lot more sense. I don't know. For some reason, skee ball and toboggans kind of sound like a similar vein.
More than pianos and organs.
When I see, bullets are buying gaming, I'm like, why don't you go for pinball? That seems like it would make more sense than skee ball bullets, but whatever.
Yes, that was the thing. Pinball, God, pinball has a story. The pinball started as a lawn game in Europe.
A lawn game?
A lawn game where the balls were rolled into holes on the ground.
Like, kinda like golf?
Oh, yeah, they rolled them. Parlor versions of the games were called bagatelli. They were the bagatelli tables. Mm. And to play the tabletop games, a stick or a plunger would be used to scoot the ball up an incline, over the incline, and down the other side, where they would hit pins, and they would land in pockets labeled with different scoring values, and that's where the name pinball came from.
So you know what? Here is my theory. I think this is great evidence of evolution, because it sounds like this lawn game thing split off and became both pinball and mini golf. It's like what you just described sounded like mini golf.
And croquet, probably, right in there, too. In 1871, that's right. There were improvements then made to bagatelli. In 1871, this inventor took and made coiled springs and a plunger. So that was all the way back to the late 1800s that the plunger came in. They made the marble smaller. And then in the 1930s is when the countertop machines really took off. They weren't electric till 1934. Hmm. From the 1940s to the mid-70s, most of America's big cities, especially New York, had outlawed pinball as a gaming device. They said it was a game of chance, not skill. Obviously, they never played.
People come after fun from all angles. First, there was prohibition. Then they banned pinball. Come on, people.
So they said it was a form of gambling and it didn't involve any skill. And as I said, they never played it because I tell you, I take some skill when I play it. So then they decided that it was going to be legal again. But the flipper wasn't really invented until 1947. Well, they used to tilt the machine to sway the ball. Mm-hmm. That's how they used to tilt the machine. But Mayor LaGuardia, who everybody from New York will know, he actually wrote in the Supreme Court affidavit that the pockets of school children in the form of nickels and dimes were giving away their lunch money to pinball machines. And that's one of the reasons they should have been outlawed. So there you go. You're taking money away from children. Obviously, they came back. And
are we not a free society of choice?
No, apparently not. Not those things. So pinball had kind of its little bit of a rocky start also, just like skee ball.
And of course, board games have always been a lot of fun. I mean, I bet you we can ratchet off. Like, what are some of your favorite board games?
I used to play Monopoly all the time.
Yeah, Monopoly is probably, I think it's the number one board game
and
of
life.
All time. Yeah, Life. I know. You had spin that wheel thing. Yep. You get these little people that you put inside of the in the car and they always fall out. Yeah.
Yep.
There was Clue. I mean, just so many amazing board games. And, you know, a lot of
Yahtzee.
People think about, Yahtzee is another good one. With Monopoly, the funny thing about that is there's so many different variations of the game. And there's Monopoly of all kinds. You know, they're based on universities, based on towns. I think they're even like knockoff ones. My friend Viv used to have, well, you met Viv. She had one called Ghettoopoly at one point, Redneckopoly. So, so fun. But one board game that is kind of like Monopoly-esque was actually in 1976. They came out with a board game all about Palm Beach, which is hilarious to me. I mean, we'll include a picture of it in the show notes. And if you could name two colors that represent Palm Beach, Glenn, what would those two colors be?
Well, green for money. Right?
Yeah.
Green for money.
Absolutely.
And Palm Beach. Red?
Well, close. I think pink, like pink flamingos. Every time there's a designer or whatever, you see their patterns are in pink and green. And guess what? This board game is just splashed in pink and green. Well, it originally debuted, like I mentioned, in 76. And it's really hard to find. Guess what one of these board games, if you can get your hands on it, sells for today?
Well, if it's Palm Beach, it has to be $1,000.
Pretty close. $450 bucks. Yeah, so I know. So the objective of the game was to move up socially and to keep all your money.
Of course it was.
so hilarious. So it is, yeah, all the spaces are themed, you know, just like on Monopoly and stuff like that. Oh, and it has in there cards that you get and you can pull funny stuff like spread a rumor or you're a socialite or whatever. It's just such funny stuff, but it's so Palm Beach. So yeah, if you can get your hands on one of those games for the low, low price, $450.
Jeez, who knew? Do you think rich people actually played the game? Or was this a poor person's game?
You know, they may have casually thrown the dice in the direction of the board while they sipped their whatever cocktail on
their martini.
Exactly.
Their blue
martini.
That's
about it. I don't think there was ever a completed game of Palm Beach in the history of the world.
Well, then we moved through time. You went from board games and you had skee ball and pinball and, you know, which were obviously decadent to society.
Yeah.
And then we came to the computer. And of course, you know, the first video game.
Yeah, video games really came on the scene strong. I mean, we look back at the way the video game started back in the day with things like Pong versus where they are now. I mean, it is night and day. Like video games now, they look like movies. It's crazy. So yeah, video games have definitely come
Pong. Oh, I can't tell you how many hours I played Pong on my Texas Instruments.
What was your first game console, Glenn?
Of the TIA, the Texas Instruments 80, is what I played Pong on. And the only thing it did was play Pong, pretty much. And then anything else you had to write your own code for. It was like, oh.
Yeah, we had a Commodore 64.
Oh, that's even closer. That's close.
Yeah, we had an Atari.
The only thing that did was play Pong, too. Well, I have here the list of the top 10 best-selling video games of all time.
Oh, boy.
And this is as of March, so it may have changed a little since then. But care to have any guesses?
Ooh, of
I think you're all
going
to be surprised at some of these, actually.
All right. So, video games of all time. Well, I'm going to have to say, I can't remember what it's called. Not Game of Thrones. World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft. I'm going to say World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft is on the list.
It is on the list. What number?
No, it's not on the list.
It's not on the list?
No, it is not.
Are you out of your
I think you're going to be shocked. Everybody's going to overlook
Mrs. Pac-Man.
Not on the list.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, it's on the list.
Crying out loud, thank God. All right. Tetris.
Tetris is number one on the list.
And
I hear a little bit about Tetris in the next episode.
Glenn and I may not have gone against each other in Tetris. You can actually, if you go onto our social media, you can sneak a peek and see who won. But yeah, that'll be included in one of our next episodes. But what else is on the list?
All right, number 10 is The Elder Scrolls, which I have no idea what that is.
Oh, I've heard of that, but I've never
It was released in 2011. I have no clue.
I've never seen it.
I don't know how that made the list. Then number 9 was New Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, baloney.
Number 8 was Wii Sports Resort. Because you remember the Wii was huge.
Yeah, the Wii was huge. And you know, this was my hesitation with saying Super Mario Brothers, because Super Mario Brothers came with the console. So if you bought the console, you were buying the game.
And the same thing,
I think so. Yep. I think the sports was what came with it.
And Tetris on the Game Boy.
Yeah,
was number 7. Number 6 was Mario Kart.
Oh, I should have guessed that one.
On the Wii also.
Oh, that game is so much fun.
Then Super Mario Brothers, and then one that I'm shocked the City Girl missed.
Oh, wait, stop it. Now, oh gosh, see, now I feel like I have one last chance to redeem myself.
It wasn't Farmville either.
Not Angry Birds or something. One of those dumb app games, like Fruit Ninja, or not Fruit Ninja, Fun with Words, Words with Friends, Fiends with Words, whatever it's called. Friends with Words, what's it called?
Grand Theft Auto.
What?
Grand Theft Auto. Number 3.
I'm a city girl, but I'm not a criminal.
Anymore. Sports was number 3. And then, of course, Minecraft, number 2.
Okay, so I can never let Jordan listen to this episode because he will never let me hear the end of it that I didn't guess Minecraft. Such an
and
idiot.
And then, of course, Tetris on multi-platform Tetris was number 1.
There
was
you go.
Number 1 of all. That came out in 1989. You were like 2. I mean,
whatever. Loady.
So those were the top 10 of all time. Now, this is done in March of this year. I think Fortnite probably has passed everything at this point.
I'm, first of all, shocked that you even know what Fortnite is. A little bit impressed, to be honest. But yeah, Fortnite is massive, massive. My son watches other people play on video, play on YouTube. And I know like some people, I actually saw an ad the other day. Get this. I saw an ad for Fortnite tutors that are $20 an hour. I'm like, they're tutors that will sit with you while you play Fortnite. There's a Fortnite camp I've heard about. I've heard about Fortnite camp, Glenn. Like, come on. Yeah, it's getting that level crazy. But anyway, someone who knows all about video games, he has seen the video game industry in South Florida blossom because he's kind of had a role in it, is our good friend Danny Pena of Gamertag Radio, who we chat with next. Since 2001, Danny Pena, who is out of Miami, has been helping create the video game community here in South Florida. He was one of the early pioneers of podcasting, having founded his show, Gamertag Radio, in the spring of 2005, a few months before iTunes even launched its podcast platform. I don't know, who has been podcasting longer, you or Danny, Glenn?
Oh, Danny. Maybe by a couple of years, actually.
Well, so. Danny, better known as Godfrey.
I think I'm older, but he's been in it
longer. Yeah, definitely older. But he's better known as Godfrey in the gaming community, and he's now also an inductee into the Podcaster Hall of Fame, a distinction that will likely forever evade the two of us. He is joining us today to talk about video games and gaming in Florida. Welcome, Danny. How's it going?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for inviting me. And yes, Glenn, I'm much younger.
Way younger. My goodness, way younger. So tell us about how you got into video games and got started. Where did that passion for gaming come from?
Way back in the 80s, my grandmother bought me an Atari 2600. So that was like my first video game console. Yeah. After that, I just became a huge fan of gaming. I was playing that nonstop and then Nintendo.
Wait a minute. We got to go back to the Atari. What game was first? Do you remember?
Defenders. I had Defenders. I had Asteroids.
Yeah, of course.
And I can't remember. I think those are the first two. And Pac-Man. I had Pac-Man. But Asteroids and Defenders were like my favorite ones at that time.
Yeah, there were some good. I mean, I think the first game console that I had was the Commodore 64. Glenn has mentioned that his first one was the Texas Instruments 80.
Instruments 80.
I mean, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Do you still play?
Yep, I am definitely older.
What year was that?
It had to be in, the 80s? I mean, it had to be late 70s, early 80s. In the early 80s, the TIs came out. They were one of the first computers. We could only play Pong, Danny. That was it. I mean, there was nothing else. Wow. It really wouldn't do anything else.
I mean, at least when Atari came out with only the one game, they didn't expect you to program the
rest.
Write the code. Texas Instruments did. Apparently, they're like, you guys can make the rest of them.
So, that's great.
Danny, what are some of the classic games that you still get into?
Oh, I play a lot of Super Nintendo games. To this day. I play a lot of Mario Kart, Star Fox. I love like Zelda, a lot of RPG games like Final Fantasy, stuff like
games,
that.
By the way,
role playing. For those who don't know. But yeah, I still to this day I play because I have the Nintendo Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic that came out a year or two ago.
Nice.
So it has multiple games in that little system. You connect it to your TV in HD, and it looks great.
It's so funny how they figure out ways to make games new again. Like you're saying, like I know they have those little controllers that all the games, like thousands of games, packed in this one little controller. You just plug it into your TV, and you can just start to play. And
last month, usually we always get like press releases on systems that have been selling the most every month because you know we get that from the NPDs, retails, and all that stuff. So last month, the original Nintendo Classic, it came out back in the 80s and they just released it two years ago, you know, in HD, and it's the same games. That system also PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, like all the current consoles, and that one sold Yeah. That is crazy.
I totally believe it. You know why I believe it? I believe it because all the kids who were from the 80s are now grown and we have jobs and we make money and we still spend it on video games. Like the one place that we went on our adventures called 10th Level Tavern is owned by a guy named Joey who just didn't want to stop playing video games. He figured out a way to do it as a career, which it sounds like you've been able to do as well. I mean, how have you seen the video game industry in Florida and the community down here really grow and blossom in the years?
Oh, it's been growing a lot. When I started Gamertag Radio in 05, it wasn't like everybody wasn't really out there. You know, I met a couple gamers here and there, but I think it helped out like social media. I got to meet like a lot of bloggers and YouTubers here. And actually there's a lot of indie developers here in South Florida. Cause I usually really? Go to like their meetups. Yeah. I go to their meetups sometimes at, in Miami-Dade Community College in downtown. They have meetups every month there where there's like developers from all over South Florida. They get together, they show like their games and you try it out. And sometimes they will also release it to like their PC and the current consoles. So we're just there, like just to give them support and everything. So, and they actually, every year there's a gaming cruise that happens to, a gaming cruise every year here in South Florida. Actually, they left in Fort Lauderdale. They leave there. They go to like the Bahamas. I think last year they went to Mexico. And again, all the developers that sponsored the event, they have their games there and you get to play and during the cruise.
All right. Glenn, I have a proposal for next year's Horse Lovers Cruise. How about we just do a gaming cruise instead? That'll go over, right?
That'd be awesome. That'd be cool.
This sounds like really fun with games set up all over, like by the pool and every bar.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've been to one of those events. I think it was a Nintendo event years ago where it's just a huge arena full of people watching people play video games live action. It's just, it really is like a boxing event. People are just in their screens, on their controllers, duking it out. It's really incredible to see it. What's the direction you think gaming is going to go in? What do you think is on the horizon?
Oh, it's growing, man. Like I play a lot of the mainstream games, right? You know, those publishers, they have huge money for marketing and all that. So a lot of people will know a lot about those games because it's on TV, radio, everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm really loving the indie games because those are the ones that are taking risk and they're doing new things that publishers like the major ones are pretty afraid to do. And and sometimes when those games become successful, then you see the mainstream companies copy them.
That's true. There's video after video after video of gamers playing on YouTube. I think YouTube has been such a pivotal thing for gaming. Do you think that as gaming industry goes, that videos and seeing people play is going to become more important?
Oh yeah, it's going to be huge, man. Huge. I know that years ago, this is company called Twitch. Before that, I forgot the name. They had like a different name for that live stream video service from there, and they became so huge that Amazon bought them, I think, for like over $1 billion.
Wow.
And they were independently. They were just it was a streaming service where people will go and play their games. And now, because of the success of that company, now you see YouTube doing the same thing. Now Facebook are now getting people from that service from Twitch, removing them from there and paying them to go to Facebook for them to stream their games. Now, different games and on Facebook gaming. So the industry is growing. It's growing when it comes to the live stream.
Wow.
A lot, big time. Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. There's people that are making millions of dollars just in a year just because they're streaming games almost every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of the people that Jordan watches, I've seen, you know, some of the older videos they've done and they talk about their job and da-da-da. And then some of the more current videos, they talk about how they've left their job and now doing the YouTube gaming videos is their full-time thing. It's just, it blows my mind. I mean, video games have gone, you know, from obviously the small screen that you're playing on to the computer screen and the TV screen. They've also hit the big screen. I mean, there's been so many movies that have come out aside from your awesome documentary, which I'll get to in a second, but they have some big movies coming out too that have hit the, I mean, just this year alone, there was Tag, Game Night, Ready Player One. So from board games to real life running around games to video games, like all that stuff is hitting
movies now. It's just, it's insane. Like, it's just becoming so popular to get out there and just keep playing.
Yeah, definitely. And I know back in the days, people were kind of like afraid to say, oh, I'm a gamer. And now it's like, it's a cool thing now. Now everybody's a gamer. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, so what is this documentary that you, that you've been working on? Can you share us, share any details about it with us? It's really exciting news.
Yeah. So, this is a documentary that I worked on. I worked on it sometime like the end of last year, and I finished it like around February. So it's basically, a documentary about our podcast, Gamertag Radio. It talks about like how I started podcasting and the people that I met throughout the years and how I met our co-hosts and so on. But it's a very different film because every person I show this to, people that never play games, that never even listen to podcasts, they get to see this and they leave like inspired, like, wow, this movie is really good. Mm-hmm. So my goal with this is, I made it in a way I wanted to make it universal for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a gamer or not. I just want people to be inspired for them to do like their own thing. It could be they want to go to school for something, you know, or they want to start a business, you know, from scratch. Like, this is a really cool movie that will pump you up and inspire to like really make moves. So my goal with this is I want to educate people about podcasting and also about the gaming industry. And at the same time, I've been submitting it to like a bunch of different film festivals across the country. And so far, we already got an award a couple of weeks ago from SuperCon.
I was so happy to see that you were getting an award and all that. What was that like?
That was crazy. I was next. Actually, I wasn't even there. I was in New York City when I got the email that I won an award. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, because originally I thought, oh, they're going to show it, you know. That's cool. And that's it. But I was not expecting an award. So they named it the best feature film out of the whole SuperCon.
What?
Yeah, that was insane. So I haven't seen the trophy yet because I'm still waiting for it. But they only sent me a picture of it. So I probably will get it sometime this week and stuff. So awesome. There's that. And I was in New York City for the Dominican Film Festival. That's like a whole crazy big, huge film festival.
You got to meet someone who's from Orange is the New Black. I saw that picture of like, oh, I'm so jealous. Yeah.
there was a lot of Latino actors and actresses that were part of the film festival, and and it was an honor to be part of it, man. And hopefully I submitted to other film festivals. Hopefully I'll get, you know, email soon if we get selected or not, but I'm very, very excited. I think it's a couple here too in Florida. It's a couple here in Florida. I'm still waiting for them.
Danny, when will it be released that everybody can watch it? I happen to have seen it and it is so well done. And I remember going back to you and saying, you did this? Because you actually did
the editing.
You did the editing, right?
Yeah, I did the whole thing. The only thing that it wasn't me was the intro and outro. That was Neil Gerlarte from Wildstyle Media. Shout out to him.
We might know him.
But everything else was just straight up me. Like, I had my own footage. They also provided me from footage from unreleased material from The Messengers, a podcast story, which you could watch it on Amazon Prime, iTunes. So they gave me all that. And I decided like, let me just edit my own story and just share it to the world, like how I started and everything too. So
it's a new way to do autobiographies. You don't have to write anymore. Like, for you and I to write a book, that'd be impossible. But
I keep trying to get him to, Danny. It's not working. So, you know, it's funny because when people used to be into video games, there was this whole stigma that, oh, you just sit on your couch, you're super lazy and da-da-da-da-da. But, I mean, you're proof positive that gaming and being into all that stuff can really open some huge doors, especially with some hard work. And I have actually a little bit of homework I want to offer to you and all of our listeners. I don't think there's much of an opportunity for me to teach you anything about games, Danny. So I'm going to take this chance while I can, because I have a feeling you haven't heard of this before. I'm just crossing my fingers that I'm right. So after we hang up, I want you to, and all our listeners, to go to vogue.co.uk. Now, Glenn tried this and failed miserably, but you, I know this code well and won't mess it up. So if you go to Vogue, vogue.co.uk, and on your keyboard, press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA.
Oh, the Konami code.
Yeah, see? I knew you'd know it. And then you just keep pressing A
over and over and over again, something really funny happens. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So make sure you go to that website and check it out. And I think you'll be in for a nice little treat. But having you on here was a huge treat for us. I mean, we've been friends now for, I'm so happy to say, a couple of years. And I know you've been friends with Glenn for a lot longer than that. And it's just always a pleasure, Danny.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. And, you know, it's cool. Every time I go to an event and Glenn is around and we sit down, we talk about a lot of things. So it's a lot of fun. And hopefully we could do that again soon.
Absolutely. Right? Miss you, man.
Well, we got to do Miami one of these days for one of our adventures. So we're definitely going to be letting you know. Danny, where can they find your show? What do they look for?
Go to gamertagradio.com. We're there. And if you want, you have a podcast app. Doesn't matter which one, we're everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, we're everywhere. Just put Gamertag Radio, you'll find it.
Based out of Miami, Gamertag Radio is all about video games. Since 2005, hosts Danny Godfrey Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo have been gathering all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry and delivering it straight to you. Join them for their twice-weekly award-winning podcast and check out their website, which they've grown to one of the largest and most respected gaming information sites on the net. Get the interviews, roundtable discussions, and freshest gaming coverage you crave. Danny, Paris, and Peter give you the latest news from Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, exclusive content, developer interviews, VR coverage, and more. Download and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or any of your other favorite podcast players, or visit GamertagRadio.com. Gamertag Radio, simply everything you need to know in gaming. You don't want to miss this. Well, before we get to everything else that's going on in the state of Florida, let's play catch up real quick. So, Glenn, how did you prepare for this Geek versus Gamer adventure?
Well, you know, I haven't played video games in a long time because I've been a little busy running a network. I'm trying to make money. So it's one thing. And also, I kind of get addicted to video games when I play them. So I kind of avoided that. Mm. But I did practice. I found a game that I liked. I tried to do Fortnite, but my computer wasn't kicked up enough to even play the game.
Because it's as old as you are.
No, actually, it's fairly new. Teasing. But boy, Fortnite needs a lot of power. So I found a game called World.
You need a gamer PC. That's what you need, a gamer PC.
Yeah, not this one. I did a game called World of Tanks. And actually a pretty fun game.
How did you
and I
find
got to,
it?
I don't know. I just started looking around and my computer would handle it. And now I've gotten kind of addicted to it. So, but I figured what better way to prepare for doing a challenge with you than blowing stuff up. So that's why I
wait a minute. I don't know how I feel about that. I wish I had known that before I had a blaster gun in my hands at Extreme. I would have taken advantage of that a little bit more, but whatever.
It was fun. I did have a good time, man. And it kind of got my hand-eye coordination going again. You kind of lose a little bit of that.
You do. Well, I'd like to share with you how I prep for our head-to-head gaming. I prepped it by hurting my thumb. As is important to do before you go into video gaming stuff. Oh gosh, it was the Tuesday before we went on our adventure and I fell down the stairs. And of all the things for me to hurt, of course, it was my stupid thumb. I just couldn't even believe it. I mean, what are the chances? Jeez. But anyways,
yes, if you've been a listener since the beginning, we are accident prone, the two of us.
Extremely. It's really like on another level. So after a couple of days of icing it, I thought, all right, I have to get in a little bit of practice time before I go up against Glenn. So I broke out my favorite game of all time, which it's a close competition with Resident Evil. It's a great game, but I love Evil Dead, which is just a really silly, easy game. Once you learn to play it, you can literally win it in a day. But I broke it out. I started playing and was really excited that the way that I injured my thumb didn't seem to affect my ability to play on a controller. So yay! I was in good shape. So
the important things in life.
Oh man. So that was one thing. So, but I also took my 6-year-old son, Jordan, to Florida SuperCon. I wanted to interview some gamers there. You know, they had competitions going on from video games, card games, board games, the whole lot. So I thought it would be a great opportunity to interview a couple of locals about gaming here in Florida while also blowing my son's mind with his first ever Comic-Con. Well, Jordan and I never made it off the exhibit floor to go to all the side rooms where all the competitions were, because Jordan's mind was just, it was entirely too blown. I didn't have the heart to make him walk off the exhibit floor, and I had a brain fart that they were even in a different room, so whatever. Ugh. But we were meeting characters of all types and having such a good time. But I wanted to introduce you to one person that we met who writes characters of all types. His name's Silverback. He was so awesome to Jordan and to me, and he had a fascinating story. So here's a bit of my and Jordan's time with Silverback. Hey, it's Jemmy. It is day one of Florida SuperCon, and I have just arrived here in Fort Lauderdale at the convention center here with my son Jordan for his very first Comic-Con. Tell everyone, what are you dressed as?
Deadpool!
So what are you most excited to see?
Deadpool.
You're most excited to see another Deadpool?
Yes.
All right, well, let's go SuperCon it up, shall we?
Yeah.
The name got my attention. Very cool.
Who's your last comic books? Me?
Who's your favorite superhero?
I like Deadpool, and I like Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Captain America.
I have a gift for you.
Jojo, he's giving it to you, baby.
You
want to give him a hug? Can I interview you for the show? Okay, can I come back here and do it? Okay. So this is Jemmy over here for Finding Florida, and I am at the Florida SuperCon. We're wandering around the aisles. I got struck by the name of your company. You are Silverback.
Yes,
this
I am.
This is Silverback, Inc.
I am an independent comic artist. I'm also the owner of a publishing house, Silverback Publishing.
So tell us about these books. I was dying laughing. Yeah, so everyone has to hear about these.
The first trilogy is called And They Lived Ever After.
Uh-huh.
In book one, Rapunzel has a hair salon. Sleeping Beauty has insomnia. The three pigs are being sued by the big bad wolf for being burnt coming down the chimney.
Oh, God.
Red Riding Hood is pregnant with her first child, and her baby daddy, Jack, is locked up behind bars. In book two,
totally bizarro land. I love it.
It gets better. In book two, we have an election for the new governor of Candyland. The former governor, the Muffin Man, has passed away.
Oh, poor Muffin Man.
His intern put gunpowder in the recipe as opposed to baking powder.
Oh, and the on muffin, purpose or well, on
we,
accident? Well,
we don't know yet.
Ooh.
If you buy the book, you can probably find out.
That's true.
And the muffin shot out of the oven and killed him.
So how many books altogether are we talking about?
I've done 9 books.
Wow.
I have my autobiography called Silverback that I wrote specifically for children who like to draw so they know the trials and tribulations of how to persevere and move forward.
You're at this booth now. How much work has gotten you just to get to here?
I've been doing SuperCon for 6 years.
Mm.
It took me about 3 years to get everything up to where I'm happy with it now.
But what I mentioned to you guys that we are going to be gaming, you mentioned Glitch Bar. So clearly you guys are familiar with arcade games and
yeah.
Do you get into that stuff too?
I do.
Do you nerd out? What
I
do you nerd out with?
I have a PlayStation 4. I have an Xbox One. I have a PC. Favorite game of all time, the Kingdom Hearts series.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting patiently for the next one. I love Final Fantasy. I love
it's a classic.
Anything role playing.
What Final Fantasy are they on now, by the way?
852? I think it's 15. I think 15 was the last one I got.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Whoa, I'm just so excited that I met you. I think your story is fascinating. What you're
it's
doing
even
is
better when you read it. Hint, hint.
There you go. So where wink, can people wink. Go to get their stuff so they can read it?
My website, www.silverback-inc.com.
And with that, folks, we're out. So, Jojo, we just left SuperCon. What did you think, kiddo?
Well, that was not what I expected.
What did you expect?
I expected, like, it was going to be, like, a whole nother A in a whole nother era.
What did he say? A whole nother what?
A whole nother age and a whole nother era.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, out of the mouths of babes. Who knows? But, yeah, Silverback was great. He was so fascinating. We talked about so much more than we even had a chance to include right there. More about his books, his film company, his apparel company. I mean, the guy is busy, super busy, but he was a great random find. And maybe we'll get to include his full interview in a special future episode, The People of Florida or something. But so even though we never made it to the gaming competitions, we definitely scored big with meeting Silverback.
Well, just a quick reminder for you to go ahead and jump into the FPN Insiders on Facebook. It's a closed group exclusively for our super fans of the Florida Podcast Network shows, such as the Finding Florida podcast. And we'll give you access to early scoops, contests, and other special treats and other random posts that Jemmy seems to put in there that are bizarre. So, and you never know what's going to come along on that train. So Jemmy and I look forward to meeting you in there.
We also want to thank all of you who send us comments, whether it's on social media, on our website, through email. You can email us, by the way, at Jemmy or Glenn at floridapodcastnetwork.com. That's J-A-I-M-E if you're trying to find me, or G-L-E-N-N for Glenn at floridapodcastnetwork.com. We really appreciate all the notes, ideas, and feedback. Guess what time it is, Glenn?
What time is it?
It's time for us to find out more fun stuff about the rest of the state of Florida.
Florida, where you get school credit for learning to water ski.
Well, I found a little interesting tidbit about South Florida here. Are you familiar with Airbnb, Glenn?
Yep, I've used them.
You have? Where have you used them? When have you used them?
When we were out on our trip to Arizona.
Ooh, very, very nice. I've never done Airbnb. I actually only just took my first Uber and Lyft the other day. So this whole like,
I can't believe I've been into these things.
The whole concept blows my mind. But yeah, so, but what's interesting, the tidbit I found was that one of the most desirable Airbnb rentals in the country is right here in South Florida. There's this little cottage. It's listed as, get this, they know how to write this, cozy and charming. It says, enjoy a tropical garden and beautiful pool, secluded with no eyes from neighbors. It's only $85 a night.
Down where you are?
Yes, yes. It's right. And it's called Paula's Cottage. It just sounds lovely. It's located right in Biscayne Park in Miami-Dade. And I just was like, what? It's listed in the top 20 in the whole entire country for Airbnbs.
Book ahead. Apparently it's popular.
I know. For $85 a night. I'm like, what's, as soon as I made that list, I doubled my price. Are you kidding me? So I just thought that was an interesting, random little tidbit for our community clipboard. So if you're looking for an Airbnb locally, you might want to sign up now if you want that one.
So good and tasty.
Tastes good. Oh my gosh. So I have this wonderful friend, Lynn, of mine, who I've mentioned her before to you. She actually reminds me a lot of your friend, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend, Lynn, she is hilarious. One of the most fun people I've ever met. And she always posts interesting stuff on her Instagram. And this caught my eye. She's riding a stationary bike, hands up in the air, and she's all excited and proud of herself and just like, look, Ma, no hands. And it turns out what she was riding was this drink bike at the O in Palm Beach, is spelled E-A-U. It's in Palm Beach. It's a beautiful resort. I've been to a couple of parties there, and I can tell you firsthand, it's gorgeous. Oh my gosh. But back in their Breeze restaurant, they have this stationary bike. And so Lynn, I'm like, Lynn, what is this picture? And she's like, yeah, 10 seconds on the bike and it blends a fresh margarita. I'm like, what? Yeah, apparently you pick the fruit, your choice of sweetener, and your tequila flavor, and then you just ride the bike and it blends it for you. So you can see in the picture, there's a blender literally hitched to the front of this stationary bike, and they must have rigged it. And I'm like, that's the coolest, craziest thing. So yeah, you can earn your calories while you ride. Yeah, while it's making your cocktail. So anyways, I thought that was interesting. It's served on Sundays from 12 to 6, and it's only in the summer, I think. It just started July 1st. But yeah, it's only $12 for a drink like that that you have fun riding your way to. I'm like, oh, calories earned, calories done.
Good deal for the hotel. They save electricity and have you do all the work.
Exactly, right? They save on bartenders. They save on everything. I think it was brilliant.
Well, it's time for the mystery sound of the month, where you all get to guess what sound I am bringing to the table.
Wait a minute. This has always been my segment. What happened?
Yes.
What
is this? Jenny normally does it, but not this month. Whatever. I got it this month. And this was recorded on location at a super secret location. Now,
was I on this location as well?
No.
Oh.
You were not. Oh. So I have a life outside of you, Jimmy.
No, you don't.
So now, well, let me play the clip. There we go. Okay, so
I think I got it.
Obviously, it's a what?
Sounds like some sort of open air big event with a huge crowd. I don't want to give too many details. I think I have it right.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, and everybody can guess. It was a race, but what was racing is what you.
I think I know the answer. I think I figured it out.
All right, don't give away.
No, I'm not giving it away. I'm not giving it away. I'm just really excited because I don't think anyone's going to get this.
So we gave you a clue. We know it's a race. I was in the stands, but what was racing?
Ooh, and actually that's another clue because Glenn often posts what he's doing. So if you look around the social webs, you may find another hint as to
and
what
how can they win? What do they do?
Well, the first to email me, moi, Jemmy, at J-A-I-M-E at FloridaPodcastNetwork.com wins a piece of FFP swag. You just got to email me with what you think the mystery sound is. So, okay, Glenn, please play it again so everyone can listen up one more time. Be the first to email me again, Jemmy at FloridaPodcastNetwork.com. And here's the clip one more time.
There you go.
It's a whole lot of chaos.
Yep.
Was it fun? Well. Did you have a fun time at this
game? We had a good redneck night here in Ocala. I brought me back to my roots of my redneck roots up there in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
And if I remember correctly, that was the same weekend I took Jordan to SuperCon. So we had two very different
very
weekends.
Different. Well, the costumes were interesting at both.
At both. Let's just put that is very true.
Put that way. at this particular event, if you're a girl and you wear your Daisy Dukes, your short Daisy Dukes, you get in free.
Ooh,
so what the girls
like the deal at the club.
They all wear the short Daisy Dukes and then they go change in the bathroom once they get in.
Yeah, smart girls.
All right, there. Let's get your guesses in.
Well, thanks for your clip, Glenn. I can't wait for Fuel to try to figure out this mystery. Well, it's time for a segment that I love called Florida or Not. It's kind of a play on the Florida segment that everyone has come to love so much on our show. We get great feedback. But the twist with Florida or Not is that Glenn has to actually guess whether or not these
I'm ready.
Interesting stars of these stories are from Florida.
All Florida.
All right. So story number one. Well, a woman whose name is Gianna Kroll took to Facebook after seeing what she said appeared to be a naked man tied to a tree. And he was blindfolded. And children and their families were on the beach playing nearby. It was a Sunday.
Definitely Florida. No question.
Park managers believe that it could have been a prank. I guess they don't really know for sure, but the woman who posted the photos, she said she called the police and reported the incident for indecent exposure, but she waited and waited for the officers to arrive for 45 minutes. This guy was out there tied up for 45 minutes at least, but no one showed up. So in one photo, it appears that there was a tripod and camera set up. So that's why they think maybe there was a prank, but we're not really sure. So Glenn, okay, here you go. Is this Florida or not?
It has to be Florida.
Ding, 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 ding.
No question.
yes.
Port St. Lucie.
Nope.
No.
Good guess, though. It happened at Big Talbot Island State Park in Jacksonville.
Oh, wow. That's not
I know. So this story came from FPN Insider. So this story came from FPN Insider Steve Heath. So thank you, Steve. You've come through again on another episode. And yeah, we are famous for our naked Florida man. I don't know why they keep popping up.
Somebody untied the poor guy eventually. Can you imagine the sunburn in Florida?
Oh, God. So many tender parts. Okay. So story number two. Eric Stagno, 34. Again, another naked guy. He stripped naked and did yoga poses in a crowded Planet Fitness. You can see his picture there, Glenn, his little mugshot. And what was the first thing you said? You asked me when you saw it?
Oh, what, really? Was he the naked guy?
Yeah, he was. He walked into the gym, stripped down at the door. Didn't even get five. He stripped right down as soon as he walked in and then proceeded to walk back and forth a couple of times before he decided to settle on the yoga mats. Needless to say, police were called. And when they arrived, they found him there completely nude on his knees in a yoga position.
I have a guess on this one. Florida, I don't think it's Florida.
Not? Why not?
Not Florida. I think it's going to be Berkeley, California.
Oh, I totally get the vibe of why you said Berkeley. It sounds like a it's either a crazy
or
person
San Francisco,
or a hipster.
One of the
one
two.
Or the other. It's a crazy person. No, actually, this is ding, 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 ding. You're right. Not Florida, but it's Plaistow, New Hampshire, of all places. So what do you think he complained about, Glenn, when he was arrested?
The handcuffs were chafing him.
No! Keep in mind, this took place at the Planet Fitness, so he complained that he thought the gym chain had a judgment-free philosophy. Oh my God. yeah, not that judgment-free, dude. Sorry.
Judgment-free.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so moving right along to story.
And his blood alcohol content was about 6.
We hope at least. Jeez. All right. Story number three. A man allegedly. Wait, sorry. Okay. Story number three. You know, you can make some really bad decisions when you're hungry, right, Glenn?
Yep.
Well, this guy did just.
I get hangry a lot.
Yeah. He did just that. 37-year-old Todd Tanner Shell was discharged from the hospital. And afterwards, he found. What do you see in hospital parking lots all the time?
Ambulances.
Yep. He found an idling ambulance there unoccupied. It had just dropped off another patient, but he thought, ding, ding, opportunities. He took it. Oh, man. Well, the police were able to track down Shell in the stolen vehicle, and they booked him on 2 class 5 felonies, including unlawful use of means of transportation and unlawful flight from law enforcement. So this guy was just a handful. And in their report, they noted that he intended to return the ambulance. So no harm, no foul, right?
Yeah, he was just going to get a sandwich and come back.
But why do you think he stole it, Glenn? That's my first question.
Was he really going to go get a sandwich and come back?
He said his intention was to drive home and collect money so he could get a sandwich, claiming that, here you go, it was too hot to walk home.
Oh, well, probably was. Florida. But, yeah.
Florida or not, you're going with Florida.
Florida, yes. And by the way, this guy's mugshot looks like he's been in mugshots before.
It's not his first time. No. Well, we do not own this one. This one belongs to Mesa, Arizona. But now, in his defense, Arizona gets dang hot.
It's hot. It's hot. See, 120 degrees is still 120 degrees.
Yeah, actually, weather sites recorded the high of the day at 115 degrees. So, and he had been admitted for a heat related situation in the first place, but yeah, sorry, Arizona, you own this one. This one's yours.
Well, he couldn't afford an Uber. His money was at home. So,
all right, story number four, and this one comes with an audio clip. Well, police say a man accidentally shot himself outside of a room.
Florida.
A rooms to go. Go ahead and just play the clip, Glenn.
Also in 7, gunfire outside a mall. A man shot by mistake. Officials say he was adjusting his pants when his gun went off. 7 News reporter Andrew Dimbert live where this happened. Andrew?
That's right, Greg. This man shot himself while he was trying to pull up his pants. outside of this room, Sago Furniture Store, here, take a look at the scene earlier this afternoon. I can tell you there was quite a bit of blood on the ground. Now, some employees tell us that this man was inside shopping for furniture with two other people when he either stepped out or he was leaving, decided to adjust his pants, and that's when he shot himself in the foot accidentally with a gun that he had holstered. Now, as for those employees, they didn't know what to make of this. They didn't know if this was some kind of active shooter situation or some kind of robbery. But once they realized that this man was in pain and this was an accident, they called 911 immediately. And the extent of that man's injuries to his foot unknown at this time, but we are told nobody else was hurt. As for the gun, police tell us that the man had it legally. He did have a concealed weapons permit. Right now, they're just trying to figure out how adjusting his pants led to him shooting himself outside of a furniture store.
Because he's a dumbass, that's why.
So, Glenn, do you think that's Florida or not?
Florida, definitely Florida.
Ding, ding, ding. Of course it's Florida. It involves a gun. Of course it's Florida.
Shooting themselves.
Not Florida or Texas.
You didn't yet. Do you ever wonder in the movies they always stuff the gun down the front of their pants? God. What man in the right mind is going to put a gun pointed there?
And the first time you hear a story of it going wrong, why does any guy ever do it again? It just seems like you see.
I was just shocked he was shot in the foot and didn't take another part off.
He's
I was really shocked because they said a lot of blood. So that's what I was thinking.
I know. Golly. All right. Last story. Here we go.
Holster. Yeah. Holster's a wonderful thing. A holster.
So this final story also has an audio clip, and I'll just let you play it, Glenn.
Okay.
It is not every day we tell you about a stolen shark. This one, only 2 feet long, not a predator, but still a shark taken from the aquarium on Saturday.
We first told you about this today at 5. Still no sign of that shark. But Jesse DeGoyotta reports police have impounded the suspect vehicle in this case, and they are now talking to a person of interest. Jesse joins us live in the newsroom. This has to be a first for a lot of people, Jesse.
Me and the chief and the people at the aquarium. Now, this is called a horn shark because of the horn-like shapes behind its eyes, stolen the day before Shark Week begins, much less. Police initially thought it was a hoax.
I've seen a lot of dogs and cats stolen, but never a shark. They took the shark and put it into a wet blanket and threw it in a stroller and left with it.
Cameras apparently caught three suspects Saturday afternoon with other visitors in the area. They went to the open-air exhibit that allows people to reach into the water to try to touch some of the fish.
This is definitely somebody who knows what they're doing, what they had, and then when they're specifically for that shark.
Police have been talking to a person of interest and pursuing other leads.
How many people on the way out said, God, that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen?
To think you're going to pass off a shark as a baby. Come on. So, yeah, the management followed them into the parking lot and they refused to let them search the truck. Big surprise. And so it was two guys and a woman. And so one of the dudes just straight took off and left his friend and the girl behind. Like, see ya. Well, anyways, he ended up being the one who was arrested. He's 38-year-old Anthony Shannon. He was arrested the next day and charged with a felony. And his bond was set at $10,000. Glenn, Florida or not.
Did they find the shark? No.
Reports are they did find the shark, but I wasn't able to find confirmation that it made all the way back to the aquarium safely, but okay. At least when they found it,
it was
still alive.
Stakes. We don't know.
Well,
we don't know.
The bucket they put it in, can you believe this? The bucket they put this poor little shark in had bleach solution in it. So it's just crazy. But yeah, so Florida or not, Glenn?
I'm going to go with not on this one. I think that Floridians know not to play with sharks.
Ding, 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 ding. Way to go. This was San Antonio, Texas. So we are not the only crazy crazies out there. Apparently the heat can affect us all. Because I know it's hot in San Antonio, too. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, Florida or not, Glenn, well done. You did pretty good this round. This month's hero. And we like to close out the show on a positive note with our hero of the month. And this one comes out of a town we just visited, Glenn, Tallahassee. It's a really great story. Go ahead and play the clip.
Bill March's fresh start began with a clean shave and a little help from Officer Tony Carlson.
Just because Phil's homeless doesn't mean he's not a part of the community.
After more than a year living on the streets, Phil applied for a job at a Tallahassee McDonald's.
They said, well, if you want the job, prove to me you want it by shaving.
but all he had was a broken razor and no mirror. Luckily, Officer Carlson spotted him and stepped in.
I said, hey, if you're willing to let me, I'm willing to try.
Touched by their interaction, a passerby filmed the moment. Soon, thousands of people online were thanking Tony and rooting for Phil. Now, their chance encounter has blossomed into something more. Today, Phil got new clothes, courtesy of the fire department.
I feel 100 times better.
A fresh cut from the barber shop. And together, the men did paperwork so Phil can get the ID he needs to work.
I'm excited. I've been out of work for a while.
And once it comes through, McDonald says he's hired.
Oh, what a great story.
Right? So Phil was out there trying to figure out how to get a clean shave, and the officer offered to help, and someone just passing by filmed it. And, you know, neither of them even realized that they were being filmed. It wasn't until the story blew up on social media and they started getting contacted that they even realized that they kind of had become famous overnight and gone viral. And, you know, we'll include a picture in the show notes of Phil and he, you know, ready to take on his new job at McDonald's. He has his McDonald's backpack and visor. And I'm just so happy for him because, you know, getting off the streets, it is so difficult and so next to impossible. So to see the community come together and, you know, give this guy a helping hand. Well done, Officer Carlson, the fire department, that barbershop, the person who posted the video, McDonald's. Just, I mean, there's plenty of thanks to go around, but especially thanks to Officer Carlson for leading the charge. Well done, Officer Carlson.
Good job, Jemmy, finding us a more positive story to end the...
I try. Yeah. It's not always easy, but I try. Well, thanks for coming along with us once again as we are finding Florida. There is just so much to do in the Southeast when you're in the mood to get into some games. And you just got a sneak peek into our fun adventure episode that will start rolling out next.
It's summer and the season of the greatest of competitions, from the Olympics to Big Brother. So what better way to join the fun than a head-to-head challenge between her and me? We are going geek versus gamer in the Southeast.
And for our adventure next month, we are getting off the main highways and going coast to coast on some back roads, checking out some of Central Florida's small towns.
One of our stops on the trek through the back roads will be a town that's basically a retirement capital for carnies. So it is sure to be a lot of fun, interesting, and many, many random finds.
So make sure you keep tuned to our social media and to findingfloridapodcast.com/nextadventure for further details on what we have coming up next. It's always a fun time.
And to find us on social media or YouTube, just head to findingfloridapodcast.com for all the links or search for Find FL Podcast. Check out our photos and videos. We do a lot of photos. We don't mention that enough. We do a ton of photos. They're always in the show notes for each episode, and they're a lot of fun. I know people go there and take a look at them. Please like, share, and leave us comments. And here's to your next adventure. From episodes 9, 10, and 9, 10. 3, 2, 1. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to start hiccuping? Because we're screwed, Dan.
No, they usually, at most, I'll have 3.
Okay. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, there was a road sign and a little stand. Shark steaks for sale. Right there. Right there. You can cut that out. Didn't come out like I wanted to. Didn't come out like I wanted to. Cut that out. Okay.
Guess what time it is, Glenn?
What time is it?
It's time for us to find out more fun stuff about
the... What's that?
I got a blooper.
That's my job. You're taking my job. I'm the one supposed to get bloopers.
All right. 3, 2, 1.